So, why is habituation adaptive? It must be adaptive, and it must be adaptive to a very wide variety of species, because we've seen that it happens in every species in which it's ever been looked for. The amount of habituation varies, it may be different to different stimuli, but all animals show this phenomenon. So why is it adaptive? What I've suggested here is a reason why habituation may be adaptive. We've seen that animals react to novel events, and that's a highly adaptive behaviour, because anything which is novel, by definition, you don't know what it is. It could be something dangerous. It could be something nice, like food. It could be a friend. It could be an enemy. It's a good idea to react to novel stimuli in some sort of way that helps you deal with them. But once an event becomes familiar, it's repeated over and over again, and there's nothing else interesting happens, then you know that event is of no interest, and you can get on doing other behaviours which are more important. And think about the Nereus, the marine worm in its tank. In order to survive, it needs to feed, so it needs to come out of its hole and feed. But when a novel stimulus comes over, it needs to go in, it needs to hide, because that novel stimulus might be dangerous. So in order to survive, some of the time Nereus has to be out of its hole, some of the time it has to be in its hole. If the shadow is repeated and nothing happens, the shadow doesn't attack it, it's just a stimulus that goes overhead and nothing happens afterwards, then it would be very unadaptive for Nereus to keep on hiding, because that would prevent it from doing other important things like feeding. So if it stops hiding when the stimulus has no interesting consequences, then it can get on with other important activities. And I think this applies to most examples of habituation that I've discussed. It doesn't explain the neophobia example, the rats being avoiding new food. It doesn't explain that quite so well. And I think that's an example where there's a special adaptive benefit to that behaviour. But this explanation will apply to most cases of habituation. But of course, habituation is not the only kind of learning that animals show, because habituation, by definition, is when animals stop responding to an event that has no interesting consequences. It just repeats over and over again the same way. It isn't good to eat. It doesn't attack you. It isn't a potential mate. It isn't a potential enemy. It has no interesting consequences. So that's habituation. But what happens when an event does have interesting consequences? What happens when that shadow flies overhead and then it attacks you or attacks your friend? What happens if you eat a new food and then you get ill? Then the event has interesting consequences, and it would be quite wrong to ignore it. So what happens when an event does have interesting consequences? I predict something else which may be important to you. This leads to another kind of learning, which I'm not going to describe in detail because it takes me 4 or 5 lectures to talk about associative learning when I teach this course to the first year students. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it now. Associative learning is exactly that. It's learning about the consequences of events. It's learning when one event predicts another or brings an important consequence. Here are some examples of the kind of things that animals can learn by associative learning. Suppose you see a place and this place has food in it. Like you see a tree and the tree has fruit on it. Then you ought to keep reacting to that tree because it has important consequences. Supposing you eat food and then it makes you ill, you need to respond in a particular way to this food, because if you eat it again, it'll have bad consequences. You can also get associative learning about the consequences of your own behaviour. I've been talking about the consequences of stimuli, like moving shadows and vibrations and food. I've been talking about whether stimuli have consequences. But of course, behaviour has consequences as well. If a male animal behaves in a particular way to a female, the female will be attracted. If it behaves in a different way, the female will be repelled. Behaving one way may cause you to be attacked by another animal. Behaving another way may cause you to be left alone. So the ability to learn associatively is obviously adaptive. I don't think I need to argue with you about why it's adaptive. It's obvious. And like habituation, it's found throughout the animal kingdom, including humans, of course. There are lots of other kinds of associative learning. Learning language, that is learning what word to say when you see a particular object, that's associative learning. If I learn the name of a student, if I learn what name to attach to a student's face, that's associative learning. Basically, associative learning is about associating one thing with another. So that's the end of the lecture. I've just put up the outline again here. This is the slide you saw at the beginning, and this is to remind you of the topics that I've covered.